today, again, it is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We are coming to the end of our series on the Beatitudes. And so, I've been reading it from a different translation each week. And I figured since this will be the last time that I'm reading it in this series, that I'd go back to the first translation I used. So we're going back to the NIV, which is actually the translation that I first memorized it in. When I was little, we had a Bible memorization program at the church, and all of the scripture that I memorized during that time was in the NIV, and the Beatitudes were one of those passages that I had memorized. I'll admit, I don't have it 100% perfectly memorized anymore, but I'm still most familiar with the NIV. So we started with the NIV, and I think we end with the NIV again today. So I encourage you, if you have a box, hear now the word of our Lord. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Word of God for the people of God's name. Well, today we come now to the last sermon in our series on the Beatitudes. I hope you've enjoyed this series over the last several weeks. As we have looked at the various characteristics and situations of those who Jesus calls blessed in this New Testament list of blessings, which parallels the blessings upon the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Just to kind of refresh your memory on some of this, because I know it's been several weeks since we covered the early ones, the Beatitudes come to the beginning of the great Sermon on the Mount, this great sermonary discourse from the Gospel of Matthew, one of the longest sets of teachings of Jesus that we have, not interrupted by any story. And I always have to chuckle when I look at the first couple verses of this, because this is the beginning of this great long sermon. And I always have to chuckle as a pastor, because when I read this, I see that Jesus saw the crowd and he went up to the mountainside and sat down so he could start to preach. And in that day, the preacher or speaker would sit and everyone else would stand. Opposite here, I could grab a stool and have you all stand, but I don't think you would quite appreciate that. There was a period of my dad's life when he couldn't stand to preach, when he was having some real bad back trouble, and so anytime anyone challenged him on sitting to preach, which, church people can be weird at times, we all admit we can be weird at times, there were people that got mad at my dad for sitting when he would preach, and so he just opened up to in the Matthew chapter 5 and said, hey, Jesus sat down to preach all the time and everyone else stood, so at least I'm letting you sit as well. Just something that starts to be funny every time I read it. Well, as we look at the Beatitudes, over the last several weeks we've been going through them one at a time. And I just want to briefly refresh our memory on these, just going through them quickly. The first of these was upon those who are poor in spirit. And this is to be distinguished from those who are financially poor, though it's possible that some who fit into this category of being poor in spirit are also financially poor. Rather, it is talking about those who recognize their own spiritual poverty in the fact that they acknowledge their own sinful nature and their need for salvation. They They know that they are sinners. They know that they can't do it on their own. They need Jesus. They cry out. The second one, often paired with the first, those who mourn, this applies both to the more layman's understanding of the Beatitude, which is simply those who are in mourning over grief. Whenever we experience a loss of any kind, be it the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, loss of a home, loss of anything, we grieve. And we become, we have this promise that if we turn to the Lord, then we'll be comforted in that grief. But we also have the more theological interpretation of this Beatitude, and that's the part that is often paired with this first one, and that are those who are mourning because of their sin. Not only do they see their great sinfulness and their need for salvation, but they are brought to a state of mourning because they know just how depraved they are. And so in great suffering and mourning, spiritual suffering and mourning, they cry out to the Lord, begging for his salvation. And they will be comforted as they cry out to the Lord. But either way you interpret this, comfort is promised to those who mourn. We then moved on to the third one, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. These are those who are humble, but not only humble, they seek the will of God above all else. It's not all about them. The opposite of this would be those who are prideful and make it all about them. They're willing to set on anyone and everyone just to get what they want. The meek, however, are willing to be put second if it means better in the kingdom of God. And in fact, they do put themselves second behind God, but they are willing to put others before them in order to bring about the glory of God. Next, we have those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. These are those who not only seek for justice, but those who seek for the will of God to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We have that line in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who seek God's will above all else. They trust God. They trust Him that even when there is injustice, that He is the ultimate judge, that He will bring about that justice. And they hunger for the righteousness of God. They hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God to be within them. And thus, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, and they are able to become more like Christ every day because of the work that the Holy Spirit is doing within them. Next, we have blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We talk about the fact that according to Jesus, if He withhold mercy from others, why should you receive mercy from God? And we have multiple parables and passages talking about those who refuse to show mercy to others, and thus they do not receive that mercy themselves. Rather, if we expect to receive mercy from God, then we should be merciful to others. Now, you have a little bit of a chicken and the egg situation going on here, because even if someone spends their entire life being cruel and horrible and lacking to show mercy, if they turn to Christ at the end of their lives, they will be saved. We do believe in death and confessions. However, if you have accepted Christ, if you have already received that mercy, and you refuse to show that mercy to others, then you're tempting judgment upon yourself. Rather, we are to show the exact same mercy to others which God has shown to us. And then we have blessed are the pure in heart, those who, through the Holy Spirit, have allowed their hearts to be purified. The Holy Spirit has come upon them, and the Holy Spirit has begun the process of sifting out all of that which is not of God, purifying their heart, sanctifying them before God. And as they are sanctified, as they become more and more like God every day, they will And then finally, from last week, we got to blessed are peacemakers, those who seek peace in all that they do, but not just civil peace, not just the end of unrest, but the peace of God. And when they carry the peace of God in their heart, then they will be able to find peace even in the midst of chaos. And they will be able to share that peace with others, even when everything else seems to be crashing down around them. And people will recognize them as the sons and daughters of God who they are. Alright. We just blew through the last 7 weeks. Are you still with me? I know that was a quick breeze over everything, and I do encourage you, if you missed any of the sermons from this series, to go back and watch them. I know that we had some audio issues here and there. Hopefully you can hear the whole sermon. If not, I'd always be happy to share some of those with you. My mic's not working.
Oops. Somehow it got muted again. I apologize. See, I thought I was loud enough, but the people online need to be able to hear me. And see, this is part of the reason why we have some audio issues, because I will accidentally mute it or forget to unmute it. Thank you, Grayson. All right, well, moving on to this week, we come to our final Beatitudes, or as some people number them, the last two Beatitudes. Depending on how you look at this, you can either say that there are 8 or 9 Beatitudes. And the reason for that is because we have blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, and then blessed are you when people persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And so we have these two Beatitudes, two verses that both deal with persecution. And some people combine them, such as what I'm doing. Other people separate them, seeing them as two different situations altogether. So, although I'm covering both of them in the sermon, I am going to cover them separately first and then talk about them together. So, the reason why some separate them to begin with is because in this first one, it has, blessed are those who are persecuted. Why? Because of righteousness. The second one, persecuted because of me, because of Jesus. So, we have those who are persecuted because of righteousness, those who are persecuted because of Jesus. Now, I can obviously see the tie between these two, but we'll touch on them both separately first. So, what does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness? Well, first of all, what is righteousness? Well, righteousness, obviously, is attributed to God. God is righteous. And we can only be righteous through God. We cannot do anything based upon our own righteousness, for we are horrible sinners without God. Am I right? Now, but with God, we can reflect His righteousness by reflecting Him. The righteousness of God talks about His extreme goodness, talks about all of those great attributes which belong to God alone. The righteousness of God sums up every good thing about Him. And as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, as those who have received the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are to reflect that righteousness to others. We can receive a portion of His righteousness through the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. So as you look at this list of Beatitudes, we see a calling upon our lives to admit to our own sinfulness without God, to turn to God when we are caught in mourning, whether it be for grief or because of our sin or our helpless state. We are called to be humble and meek. We are called to hunger and thirst for His righteousness. We are called to show mercy to others. We are called to allow God to purify our hearts. And we are called to seek the peace of God in all situations. Now that sounds like righteousness, doesn't it? And so those who follow all of these things in the Beatitudes, those who follow the works of the Lord, will become righteous to a degree. And before long, they will be set apart from those around them, not because of any intentional separating of themselves from others, which we have that in some sects. We have the Pharisees who intentionally set themselves apart. We have certain monastic communities who even today set themselves apart intentionally. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't start playing the holier-than-thou card, which is what the Pharisees started doing. But simply because of your actions or lack of sinful actions, you will be set apart because you will be recognized as righteous. You will be recognized as holy. And let's be honest, if you are behaving well in a crowd of people who are misbehaving, it's going to make the rest of them uncomfortable, isn't it? If you are surrounded by people who are constantly profaning the name of the Lord, who use foul language as their second language, who are getting drunk all the time, who are doing drugs, who are doing all of these things which you are not supposed to do, who are seeking violence rather than peace, who are cursing others, who are withholding forgiveness and mercy, and then here you are as the lone righteous person in the middle, what is their reaction toward you likely going to be? Well, who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? What makes you so special? Come on. Why don't you want to do this? And oftentimes it'll be out of their own guilt or their own conviction. They will begin to put you down because they want you to feel how they feel. And the more they witness the righteousness of God through you, the more convicted they will be and the more they will try to resist. In the very next part of the Sermon on the Mount, we are called to be salt and light in the world. And what that means is we are to be God's representatives. We are to be His influence in the world. But when people reject that influence, then they will seek to put us down. They will persecute us for the very actions which prove that we are followers of God. And they won't say it's because of our faith. Oh, you can think whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. Just don't be so holier than thou all the time. Don't make me feel bad because of your faith. You've got to assimilate. You've got to be like us so that we don't feel bad. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, because they are living out their faith. Not only do they say they believe, they are acting as if they believe. Because of that, they are being persecuted. But despite that persecution, and really because of that persecution, they will be blessed. And we have the same promise as those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we have these as two bookends, really. Because at the beginning of the journey, we have those who acknowledge their sinfulness and their need for salvation. And at the end, we have those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to sanctify them and who are living out their faith. And to both ends of this spectrum, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, salvation, eternal life is yours. we are not to be discouraged when we are persecuted because we are living out our faith. Now, for some people, that's as far as they'll go. They will attack us for our actions and our behavior, but not for our faith itself. But for others, they attack the very faith which we hold dear. Not only do they attack us because of our actions, but they attack us because of who we say we worship. Jesus. Because let's face it, there are good and moral people in the world who just by their nature, just because they are good people, will do a lot of the things in these Beatitudes. Even those who belong to other religions who are good people will do a lot of the things in these Beatitudes. But there's one thing that they lack. And that is faith and dedication in the one true God and in His Savior, His Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in some places of the world, you will be persecuted because of your actions. In other places of the world, you will be persecuted because of your belief and your faith in Jesus. And in still others, you're persecuted because of both. But Jesus says whether you are persecuted because of the way that you act as a Christian or you're persecuted because of your Christian faith itself, blessed are you. And he goes on in verse 11, he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Now, when people insult you, do you feel blessed? Do you just love it when people lob insults at you? Call you a bigot? Call you a hate monger? Call you all kinds of other things that I can't say from this pulpit? Do you like it when people insult you? No, I don't. What about when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you? When they slander you? When they drag your name through the mud, trying to make other people think worse about you? Does that just make you feel really good inside? No. But yet, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad when people do these things to you. And he doesn't just go at it from the direction that Paul does. Paul, when he's talking about it, says, be glad when these things happen to you because it builds character. I love Paul. God bless him. But when you're being spit at and insulted and ridiculed, you don't really want to think about, it's building character. Yay. That's something that an unsympathetic relative would say to you. Unsympathetic mom or dad or aunt or uncle or someone who just rub some dirt on it and move on. It builds character. But rather, Jesus says, no, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. And be assured because you are not alone, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The passage from the Old Testament that Bailey read for us, it is the closing of 2 Chronicles. Now, 1 and 2 Chronicles, in case you haven't read those recently, in case those are not your favorite books of the Bible to read, because by their nature, they consist of long lists of names and genealogies. Who loves reading long lists of names and genealogies? Anybody? No? Good. You're not crazy. I will admit when it comes to reading the Bible, I tend to want to skip over 1 and 2 Chronicles because 1 Chronicles starts with those long lists of names and I just never get past that. But if you were to go on, they go on to chronicle the story of Israel. And the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles tells us how we get to the point of exile. 2 Chronicles is followed by Ezra and Nehemiah, the story of the return from exile. But at the conclusion of 2 Chronicles, we have an explanation of how did they get to this point? Why were they sent off into exile? And we have it wrapped up with this final king of Judah who did all kinds of terrible things, who did not follow the way of the Lord. And then we have this summarizing passage saying, out of his great mercy, God continued sending the messengers over and over and over again. He sent the prophets. And it's because he cared for the people. He didn't want them to be destroyed. And so he sent them chance after chance after chance. And what did they do? They abused them. They ignored them. And some of them, they even murdered. We see this reality reflected in a parable of Jesus. I think it appears later on in the Gospel of Matthew. I don't remember the exact place, but in which Jesus tells this parable, and that parable, of course, ends with God sending his son, who was also killed. Of course, we know what happens after the parable, after that story. Sun rises again. But he tells us when we are persecuted because we are standing upon what is right, when we are persecuted because we are staying true to the Word of God, we are just the newest in a long line of those who have been persecuted for the same thing. You are not alone in facing those hardships. You are not the first one to be told that, oh, you just think you're better than me. You're just being holier than thou. Why should I feel guilty because of you? They persecuted the prophets in the same way who were before us. But great is our reward in heaven. For despite all of the trials and tribulations, despite any hardship that we could go through in this life, if we stay true to the Lord, then the promise of heaven is there for us. We have been promised that when the day of final judgment comes, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain and suffering. For we will be with God forever. And that's something to rejoice about, amen? Now I know in our current culture, we don't have to deal with nearly the persecution that Christians from other parts of the world have to deal with, or that they have dealt with in the past. If we are being honest with ourselves, the level of persecution against Christians, either because of righteousness or because of the name of Jesus, in this country is very low. Very low. And our alarms can get raised a bit when we see some of that increasing in certain places. And it's all right to be alarmed by that, and we probably should be alarmed by that. But keep in mind, even the worst persecution that is happening in this country doesn't compare to the least amount of persecution in other countries and in other parts of history. But we must prepare ourselves so that if the time ever comes when that persecution arises, that we will be willing to stand firm. That we will be willing to stay true to the ways of the Lord. And that we will not allow that persecution to push us away from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I pray that none of us here have to face the kind of persecution that our brothers and sisters in faith in different parts of the world are dealing with. Right now, we have brothers and sisters in faith who are in worship, fearing the police, barging in and shutting them down. Who are fearing bombs going off in their churches. Who are fearing armed gunmen breaking through the back doors of the church and attacking them. And I thank God that we don't have to worry about that. I thank God for that. And I pray that it doesn't happen in any of our lifetimes. But if it ever does, we must ask ourselves, what are we willing to sacrifice? What are we willing to risk for the sake of the gospel? If we are willing to risk it all and stay true to the Lord no matter what, then we will be blessed. Truly blessed by the one who gave himself up for us so that we might live. So let us rejoice and be glad. For there is no persecution that we could go through on this earth that could ever separate us from God as long as we stay true to Him. Amen.